Good evening, truth seekers. Oh, yeah. It is I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, coming to you live from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike and Kathy are off for a day or two. They're going to be back with you on Monday. Until then, you got me. Be happy about it. I know I am glad to be with you here tonight. Got a huge show straight ahead. And let's see. Let me get some business out of the way. Oh, well, a huge show not only today, but tomorrow as well. Just putting that out there. Tomorrow during the show, who's going to be joining me? Daily Show co-creator, my new BFF. Daily Show co-creator Liz Winstead is going to be with us tomorrow. Very excited about that. Ran into her in Las Vegas over the summer. We became fast friends, so you can look forward to that tomorrow. But I'm getting way ahead of myself because tonight, already a big show. Coming up in the show is one fellow by the name of Van Jones. You may have heard of him. He was the former White House Green Jobs advisor until he got Fox News Glenn Becked out of there. We're going to be talking to him. We're going to be taking your calls on, just how the hell to put Humpty Dumpty back together again now that climate change and clean energy legislation has fallen apart. Thank you, cowardly Democrats. We're going to talk about how that happened. We're also going to talk about out here, hopefully with Van Jones, about an initiative on the ballot out here in California, Prop 23, which is essentially a couple of huge oil companies coming in from Texas, coming into California, and undermining the state's global warming law, which was signed into law. It was a bipartisan bill signed into law by the Republican governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's furious about this because you got these guys coming in with this phony proposition that's going to be on the ballot this November, which will completely kill this important global warming law out here in California. We'll get to the specifics on that later, and we'll talk to Van Jones about it. Who else do I want to tease coming up? Later on, we're also going to talk about, speaking of California, Prop 19, speaking of green issues, Prop 19, which will legalize marijuana across the entire state out here in California. This November, it's on the ballot, Prop 19. We're going to be speaking with Alan St. Pierre from Normal about that and the effect it might have on the election, because it's about the elections. It's always about the elections. And, in just a few minutes, we're going to have Laird Monahan, a guy who, with his brother, walked across the United States recently to draw attention to the Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United. The decision which is undermining what little democracy we had left in this country. And, you know, when it happened, everybody was yelling and screaming. Well, everybody. The people on the progressive side of the blogosphere, the two or three people that you can find on the corporate airwaves who have progressive voices, we were raising hell about it. The rest of the country, the Republicans, Fox News, they love this thing because it means unfettered corporate money buying our elections, which are, if you haven't noticed, completely for sale. And not only are they for sale, but they are for sale to secret owners. We don't have to disclose who is putting millions and millions of dollars, coincidentally, into all kinds of Republican for Republican candidates around the country. Go figure. Who'd have thunk it? Who could have foreseen that? But not only do they have to not disclose, they can also be foreign countries. China, Germany, Egypt. They're all funneling money into this bogus right-wing outfit calling themselves the Chamber of Commerce, millions and millions of dollars, which are being fed straight to Republicans and straight onto the airwaves for propaganda ads. That's it. America has been bought and paid for. And we've all sat by and watched it happen. And we watch the teabaggers out there yelling and screaming because they're so upset about something. Something that nobody knows what the hell they're upset about. What are they upset about? Well, they would be upset if they knew what was really going on. They would be upset if Glenn Beck and Fox News and the rest of them bothered to tell them that they have no voice, that their voice has been sold to the corporations. Because corporations, as the Citizens United decision made very clear, corporations are people. That's it. They're people. They can't die. They can't breathe. They can't go to jail. They have no mouth. But for some reason, they're entitled to more free speech than you or I. So we're going to be talking in a bit with Laird Monahan, who with his brother walked across these United States to try to bring attention to this issue. Have I gotten all the business out of the way? Oh, yeah. Over at the Brad blog. I haven't even said who I am. Who am I? I'm Brad. Don't laugh at me, Tony. I'm, you know, new to this thing. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, where there is a live chat room going on right now. The lovely Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen are in there monitoring. I'm going to do my best, as always, to keep an eye on the chat room if I can. Also, on the Twitters, where you can Twitter me at the Brad Blog, and you can give us a call today at 877-520-1150. That's out here at the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 in Los Angeles. Thank you, folks, for having me. 877-520-1150. Don't use the normal Mike Malloy phone number. Don't bother them. Leave them alone, will you people? Leave them alone. Bother us. 877-520-1150. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can throughout the day, but we do have a busy schedule because, you know, it is day one of year 10. Don't look at me that way, Tony. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? No. Tony Sorrentino, our engineer, he doesn't know what goes on. He watches race cars or something. We don't know what he does. Year 10 of the war in Afghanistan, the longest war in the history of this nation. And today, we begin year 10. Feel safer? Do you feel safer? Why the hell are we there 10 years later? Why the hell are we still in Iraq? You know, I was thinking about this on the way over here, driving over here, and with Des, and she had mentioned, hey, don't forget about, you know, Eisenhower's military industrial complex speech. And boy, was he right on the money. That's the obvious, as he warned against the military industrial complex. But, you know, I'm thinking here in this economy, in this terrible economy that is, by the way, no matter what they've told you, teabagger folks out there, it's getting better. Not fast enough, but it's getting better, as opposed to previously when George Bush was in office and it was getting worse. But it's getting better, but it's still terrible. So the question occurred to me, can we even afford to get out of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? Yeah, it would help our deficit problem. This military industrial engine, we've gotten to this point where I don't know if the economy could survive without it. But how did we get here 10 years later? We got here because of an election. An election where nobody bothered to count the ballots. Some of the ballots were counted by an electronic voting machine in Volusia County, Florida in 2000, which registered negative 16,022 votes for Al Gore, which led to his concession, which led to Bush going to court, saying, he can't unconcede because I'll be harmed. That tabulator, that optical scan, paper-based tabulator, registered negative 16,022 votes for Al Gore in 2000. And the solution to that debacle was to push these electronic voting machines out all over the country. We are using them everywhere. We're going to talk about that when I come back, because there has been an extraordinary hack of a live election. Well, an election that was about to be live. An internet voting election, as if our regular voting machines aren't crazy enough. Hacked in D.C. Coming back right after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy today and tomorrow. Glad you can be with us. We're going to be speaking after the bottom of the hour about the Citizens United decision and the price that we are all paying. We are all going to pay. Yes, Democrats, independents, and even Republicans, because they don't know. They are so unbelievably disinformed by their media outlets about what's actually going on here, about how people are buying these elections. Well, we're going to be talking about that in a moment, because it's about the elections. I keep telling you over and over again, it's about the elections. Oh, it's also about the media and the fact that corporations, the same ones who are buying elections, have also already bought our airwaves, every last inch of them, and they control them. They decide what you hear for the most part, other than when I'm able to sneak in on them, of course. But it's about elections. No, it's not about this silly horse race. It's not about Christine O'Donnell out there in Delaware. Oh, I'm a witch. Who cares? It's nonsense. It's stupidity. It's not about Jim DeMint saying that single women and gay people should not be allowed to be teachers. Yeah, we need to let people know what these crazy, insane right-wing nutbags, and I'm not talking about Republicans, I'm talking about right-wing nutbags, as we send out our beacon for, legitimate Republicans to show up and save their party. I guess they don't care, because the Republican Party is now just a bunch of crazy, insane, sociopathic, psychotic, crazy people. And that ain't good. You might think it's good, but wait till they wait till November. Wait till you see how they're going to screw you guys. But anyway, and that's not to say that I'm not saying that to push for Democrats, because they're a bunch of losers. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. My point is, you can talk about Christine O'Donnell being a witch, or you can talk about the fact that when she ran in her primary back in August against one of the last legitimate Republicans, Mike Castle, guess what? Mike Castle actually beat her in that election, 54.7% to O'Donnell's 45.3%. You heard me. Mike Castle destroyed Christine O'Donnell, as far as you know. Why? Because that's what the verifiable paper-based absentee ballots told us. Mike Castle won 55-45 over O'Donnell on the paper-based absentee ballots, the ones that can actually be verified. On the unverifiable ballots that were cast on Election Day on 100% unverifiable electronic voting machines that they forced their voters to use, guess what? Castle won, according to what the machines told us, 53.3% over Castle, 46.7%. So O'Donnell won is what I meant to say. So on the paper ballots, Castle beat O'Donnell, destroyed her. On the electronic unverifiable vote, it was O'Donnell over Castle. Where's the media? Why aren't they talking about that? Why aren't they talking about Jim DeMint instead of talking about his nonsense about, you know, pregnant women shouldn't be teachers and gay people shouldn't be teachers? Why aren't they talking about the fact that the guy he's about to run against won on Alvin Green, who nobody had ever heard of, won on 100% unverifiable voting machines? Somebody prove to me that Alvin Green won that election. Somebody prove to me that Christine O'Donnell won in Delaware. Did she? Maybe. Can anybody prove it? Can anybody prove that even one vote cast for her on Election Day was actually cast for her? No, they can't. Meanwhile, back in Washington, D.C., as if these voting machines that we use locally at the polls aren't already insane enough, they were about to start an election, a live election over the internet in Washington, D.C. And just days, this is for November, by the way, military and overseas voters, they were going to let them vote on the internet. So just before the election was to start, D.C. said, well, you know what, since we've never done this before, let's let people try to hack it if they can. We think it's secure. So they put the word out about 2 or 3 days' notice. Hey, hackers, come on and try to hack this machine, the system, if you can. We bet you can't. Well, guess what happened just days later? All of a sudden, people using the test system found that after they voted, the computer, the browsers, the web browsers that people were using, suddenly started playing the University of Michigan fight song. How did that happen? Well, it was hacked. And as we guessed at the time, the hacker, the lead hacker, was a guy by the name of Alex Halderman, an assistant professor at the University of Michigan, who we hope will be joining us tomorrow night to talk about that hack, to talk about when he hacked Pac-Man onto a touchscreen system. He wrote, within 36 hours of the system going live, our team had exploited a vulnerability that gave us almost total control of the server software, including the ability to change votes and reveal voters' secret ballots. And that was a test that we knew about. How about all of these other elections? We have no idea. Brad Friedman on The Molloy Show. Stay with us. If you can't see it, if you can't count it, there is no reason that you need to trust it. Brad Friedman here on the Mike Molloy Show. We were talking about this hack of a DC internet vote scheme that was about to go live in November. And the D.C. election officials, I suppose, to their credit, had opened it up and said, hey, hackers, come and get us if you can. And boy, howdy did they. The fella who hacked this system, along with some of his students, is J. Alex Halderman, an assistant professor of computer science at University of Michigan. And he writes, within 36 hours of the system going live, our team had found and exploited a vulnerability that gave us almost total control of the server software, including the ability to change votes and reveal voters' secret ballots. Got it? Now, Alex Halderman will hopefully be joining us tomorrow night to talk about this hack. To talk about the hack about a month ago when he replaced a Sequoia touchscreen voting machine with Pac-Man without disturbing any of the tamper evidence seals. You know, the ones that the election officials tell you, oh, this will take care of it. Tamper evidence. We would see if there was any tampering. Wrong. In his, absolutely incredible. You can read about it at bradblog.com in preparation for tomorrow. But amongst the things they did, they overwrote every single vote that had been cast with a write-in choice. They were able to see the names of voters and how they voted. And they were able to insert code so that they could change future votes in future elections. And, yeah, yes. And separately, that hasn't been reported. I was speaking yesterday with David Jefferson, a computer scientist from Livermore National Laboratories. He now works with verifiedvoting.org. And he told me that he also found another exploit on his own, which was that when you would open up your ballot, he did this, he thought it would only apply to the Mac, but as it was found out later, it applied to PC and everything else. When you open up your ballot in the web browser, it opens a PDF in your web browser, and you click it and you fill it in when you're following the instructions, voting for who you want to vote for. Then you save it onto your hard disk, and then you email it to the D.C. election officials. That's how it was supposed to work, and that's what he did, and everything seemed to work fine. Until later on, he went back and he looked at that saved PDF, and guess what? It was blank. When you fill it out in your browser and you save it, it doesn't save the way you filled it out. It only saves the ballot. Had they not noticed this, there would have been thousands and thousands of blank ballots. And what would they have done? They would have said, oh, they would have blamed the voter. Oh, the voter didn't. They didn't follow the instructions. Or, boy, here's one I think would have happened. Well, this is clearly shows the voter anger this year. And they were sending in blank ballots to express that they didn't like any of the candidates. Yeah. That's what happened. There's always a reverse engineered excuse to explain these anomalies. And in this case, D.C. has called off the internet election that was to take place. So overseas and military voters will have to send back their ballots the old-fashioned way. Fill them out with a piece on paper, email them, and I'm sorry, fax them back, which is already a bad idea, lose your privacy, or snail mail them back. But yeah, you're going to see more of these internet voting schemes all around the country. It's insane. And imagine how many elections we would have had hacked if they had invited people to try to do that in your local polling place. They don't try to do that. They just tell you it's secure when we know it's not. It's about elections. And it's not just about counting your ballot. Because if you can't see it, you can't trust it. And that includes paper ballots that are counted on an op scan machine. And you trust the machine instead of trusting your eyeballs to count them. It's not just about if you can't see it, you can't trust it. It's about the entire process having been undermined. The election, counting the ballots, that's the back end. The front end, millions and millions of dollars, corporate undisclosed dollars. Corporate undisclosed dollars from foreign entities, which are now pouring into our election system. Now that Citizens United, the worst Supreme Court decision since Dred Scott, has occurred. We're going to speak with Laird Monahan, who walked across the country with his brother to raise attention about Citizens United. To say that this is absolutely insane and the millions of dollars that are pouring into our elections, not by we the people, pay attention, teabaggers, not by we the people, but by they, the corporations. Laird Monahan joins me. He's a retired merchant seaman. He is a Vietnam veteran, served in the Navy from 1964 to 1968, and he, with his brother, Robin, walked across these United States to raise attention to Citizens United. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Laird.
Hey, how you doing, Brett?
I'm okay. Laird, you, sir, and your brother, as far as I'm concerned, are American heroes. And before we get into how you came up with this crazy scheme and if it actually makes any damn difference in the whole wide world, let me ask you, how old are you, Laird?
I'm 70. Robin is 67.
So he's 67 and you're 70. Well, then let me say you guys are just spring chickens because, you know, Granny D. Do you remember Granny D?
Hey, well, you know, I never heard of her until I started talking about doing this. But, yeah, she's our hero.
She?
Indeed she is.
Yeah, and we lost her not long ago. I think she was 90, was it 90 or 95 years old when she walked across the country on a very similar point. It was about 10 years ago or so.
Yeah, she was 89 when she started. She had two birthdays before she finished.
and she was
died last March. Yeah, she died last March at 100.
Yeah, and she was trying to raise attention for campaign finance reform, and I'm sorry to say that Granny D, her efforts at campaign finance reform, well, we've had campaign finance reform, haven't we? But in the wrong direction. Laird, give me an idea, just before we get into the walk that you took. What's wrong with Citizens United, as far as you're concerned, the Supreme Court decision?
Well, there's not much right with it. The Supreme Court actually violated its own principles about legislating from the bench. And they, in essence, they made corporations into people and the money into speech. And that in my estimation, it made a fraud out of our Constitution. I was just devastated by it.
And had you been an activist before, you and your brother Robin, had you been activists outspoken on these sorts of issues in the past?
I tell people that the most activism that we enjoyed was putting a sign in our front yard for the candidate that we were intending to vote for. That was about it.
So what moved you to, most people, Laird, would, dash off an angry letter to the newspaper. They wouldn't say, hey, let's walk across the entire United States. What made you decide you wanted to walk across the entire United States?
Well, I told my my beloved wife Nina that no one was calling for action after this court decision, even though many people knew, and for years they knew what the issue was and how important it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even before the decision came down, I was saying, who is going to lead the March on Washington? And no one was raising the alarm, and only more talk. And on January 21st, I was just frustrated beyond words. And
that was the day of the decision, January 21st of 2010, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This year.
A case that will live in infamy, as we've called it over at Bradblog. so January 21, you were devastated, and what happened next?
My wife said, "Do what you have to do." And so I did, and I told her that I couldn't write letters anymore, and I couldn't sign petitions that didn't have any effect. My letters were never answered by anybody with anything other than a form letter, and so I acknowledge that this is a totally irrational act. I did it just simply out of outrage that I couldn't do anything else, and I had to. I tell you, I did serve in the Navy, as Robin did. We both served at the same time from 64 to 68. We were both Vietnam vets. And I felt that my country was calling me back into service. I really did. I felt that I had to do something to save my Constitution and my democracy, our democracy,
yeah,
for my children, for my grandchildren, and for posterity.
How long did when did you start? Where did you start? And how long did it take?
Well, today is our 144th day, I think it is. We left San Francisco after getting our feet wet in the Pacific on May 16th, and we came over the Sierras and the Rockies and across the hottest part of Kansas. I've never been so hot in my life. It was 110 a couple of days. We weren't walking then, actually. We had to quit walking about 10 o'clock in the morning a couple of times.
Because it was so hot out there in Kansas.
Yeah. And then we had a rally in Denver. We've had a rally in Kansas City and St. Louis, and we diverted our walk. We drove up to Chicago and Madison, Wisconsin for a couple of rallies. And we've met thousands of people along the way, Brad, that are just fantastic. And they all understand this situation. It's a nonpartisan issue. It's... in my belief, it's the defining issue of our time.
Now
it supersedes. It goes beyond. It goes beyond the political boundaries. It affects every American citizen.
I couldn't agree more. You're currently on your 144th day, and the reason our phones are breaking up a little bit there is because you're on a cell phone. You're in the middle of where? Western Virginia? Appalachia country?
Uh, we're, we're, yeah, we're in the mountains of West Virginia at a place called Kaiser, West Virginia. It's in the eastern part of northern West Virginia, and it's surrounded by mountains here, so yeah, this cell phone might not be too good.
All right, we're gonna I got to take a quick break here. Laird, hang on the line. We're speaking with Laird Monahan, who, with his brother Robin, is walking across the country to save your democracy. Going to find out what he learned along the way. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. A whole lot straight ahead. And speaking of 110 degrees in Kansas, Van Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead.
If my words do.
Well, I have to talk instead of listening to that. Love the tune. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com. I forgot to say hey to the truth seekers over there at DU. Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well. Yes, Big Brother is watching. Speaking with Laird Monahan, who an American hero. Unbelievably, with his brother Robin, has been, Laird is 70, his brother Robin is 67, has been walking across these United States to raise attention for this horrific Citizens United decision, which has just turned our, what was left of our democracy into a mockery. Frankly, Laird, so you started in San Francisco May 16th. You're on your 144th day, and you're headed to D.C. You haven't gotten yet to D.C., correct?
No, that's correct. Well, we did stop and go to the One Nation United event, but we came back, finished our walk, and we've got about 10 days to go.
Oh, so you went to D.C. for the rally, but you came, but you flew out there, or you drove, or what?
We drove.
So
yeah,
you drove.
We have a support vehicle. Yeah, we can drive wherever we need to be.
And then you came back.
At any given time.
And
yeah.
You came back, so you're not cheating, right?
No. Oh yeah, absolutely. No, we take the integrity of this walk very seriously.
And what kind of response have you gotten from people? Most notably, actually, what kind of response have you gotten from elected officials? Have they paid attention? Has the media paid attention to what you're doing?
The mainstream media has not. We have gotten a lot of attention from independent media. We have had a few, you know, like 10 seconds on the late night news on a few mainstream TV stations, but not much else. You know, we don't have anything against corporations. We think corporations are an essential part of our.
You're breaking up a little bit there, Laird. Hang on and see if you can. I don't know if you're walking now or not, but sit still for a moment. You say you don't have anything against what exactly?
Yeah, we don't have anything against corporations.
Ah.
We think they're an essential part of our economy. They're in essence, they're an economic tool. But the Supreme Court has said this economic tool is equal to human beings, and that guarantees that we, the people, will be excluded from representational government. The corporations have stolen our representation, either by intimidation or outright bribery, and on January 21st, the Supreme Court legalized it.
They sure did. What's in the minute or so we have left here, Laird Monahan, what's the solution? Because I don't see these guys, I don't see these politicians in D.C. taking any action, and I can't imagine anything is going to get done after these midterm elections. What can we, the people, do other than join you in this walk across the country?
Well, we have to get in the face of our representatives and look, if you don't support a constitution.
Hang on. Laird, you broke up again. Get in touch with your elected individuals and tell them what?
If you you don't support a constitutional amendment to abolish corporate personhood, then you don't represent we the people, and you don't deserve our votes.
Ken, no, they don't. Have you gotten to actually speak to any of these representatives? And if so,
yes, we have, Brad. When we were out in Grand Junction, Colorado, we spoke to four candidates in various offices in Colorado running on a
shoot.
And they all said that they would sign they would support a constitutional amendment.
Laird, these were. I'm sorry, I got to break you up because we're breaking up. So you said you spoke with folks who are on the ballot running for which party? Very quickly.
Well, they were Tea Party candidates running on the Republican ticket, and they supported this. They supported the constitutional amendment to abolish corporate personhood.
Any elected officials? I got 30 seconds here, Laird. Any elected officials said yes, we will support the amendment, or no, we will not, and who?
I have not seen any currently serving candidate.
What's a guy
running for office, but none currently serving?
What's a guy got to do? Laird,
find out more information about us on our blog.
Let me give you the website because you're breaking up. LairdandRobin.org. LairdandRobin.org. You can get more information there and go to MoveToAmend.org. Laird, sorry to cut you off there. Your phone was breaking up. Thank you, sir. You're a hero. You see, it all ties together. It all ties together. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I am your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around nice fellow, don't you think? It all ties together because we're talking about Citizens United and the corporations that have bought and sold this nation, our elections, yes, our airwaves, the people's airwaves. And we're going to be talking about what all of that means, not only out here in California, where this Prop 23 is coming up, and Desi's going to be joining me in a second to talk about that, but what it means for clean energy legislation across the country on the federal level, and whatever happened to that, and can we ever get it back? Well, we're going to be talking with Van Jones about that, the great Van Jones. Speaking of American heroes, Van Jones is going to be joining us in a few minutes. We may be able to take your calls, but we'll find out. I wanted to make sure that I plugged their website, Laird Monahan, Laird and Robin Monahan. And, where's my paperwork? What is it?
The website is LairdandRobin.org, Laird, L-A-I-R-D, and Robin, the usual way, .org.
LairdandRobin.org.
Yes.
Walking across the country. And did you catch that comment, Des, that Laird said, we maybe had 10 seconds on the mainstream media news. I wonder why the mainstream media news doesn't want to cover these guys. Walking across the country, American heroes, Vietnam vets, both of them, 70 years old and 67 years old.
Not like it's a compelling story or anything.
No. It's who cares? We've got, Christine O'Donnell's a witch.
Lindsay Lohan's in rehab again.
Got to cover.
Very important things.
Oh, man. Folks, go to MoveToAmend.org. I don't know. It's the only choice we have is a constitutional amendment. And his cell phone broke up there at the end because he's walking across the country and he was in Appalachia in West Virginia. So not a great cell phone signal out there. So it broke up a little bit. So do what you can to support LairdandRobin.org, where you can follow their walk. And go to MoveToAmend.org. I don't know how all of this shakes down, but it's gotta, because this is a disaster. And I'm talking to you teabaggers now. This is a disaster for you too. This is not your constitution. This is not what you thought you bought into. This goes against everything we believe in. People, not corporations. Man.
Speaking of corporations.
Speaking of which, yeah, Prop 23. And we're going to ask Van Jones about this because he gave a great speech on this the other day. But give us, and so did Arnold Schwarzenegger, of all people. We'll have a clip of that in a moment. Set this up for us, though, Desi Doyen. Desi's my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations near you. And if you haven't heard us on your progressive radio station, I would complain to them like holy hell. You'll be hearing it tonight, I think, out of the great Green 960 at the top of the hour. But
yes, and you can also check out all of our archives at greennews.bradblog.com.
There you go. Always plugging.
Yes, and you can listen to us on Bradblog, too.
There you go. Greennews.bradblog.com. Okay, so Desi is my co-host of the Green News Report. She's the managing editor, and she will explain to us very quickly what the hell is Prop 23 and why does it matter for me in California here in Los Angeles and for the rest of the country.
Well, Proposition 23 is a statewide ballot initiative in California. The voters are allowed to vote on statewide initiatives like this. All a person or a company has to do is have a lot of people sign a petition, and then they can qualify for
and
the ballot.
And pay a lot of money to get those signatures.
Yes, it does take a lot of money
so
to make
that
happen.
So it's a lot easier to get these corporations for them to get their initiatives on the ballot.
They tend to have more disposable income.
Yeah,
yes,
they do.
So Proposition 23 is actually intended to suspend AB 32, that's a state bill passed in California in 2006 called the Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006. It was passed by a bipartisan California legislature and signed by the Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, AB 32 was going to require that greenhouse gas emissions in California would be cut to 1990 levels by 2020. Now, that's not supposed to even start until 2012. You know, one of the things that they were going to do to help reduce emissions in California was to require a renewable energy standard, which would mean that things like power plants, for example, would have to get a certain percentage. I think right now it's 30% of their energy from renewable sources other than fossil fuels,
and it was
like coal.
And this was a popular bill. As you said, it was bipartisan, passed by a Republican, signed by a Republican congressman, and I think two-thirds of the people supported it. And then in comes these two Texas oil companies.
Right. Proposition 23 is sponsored by, as Brad said, two Texas oil refinery companies. That would be Tesoro, and I forget the other one, but they're also
Valero.
Oh, Valero, that's
Tesoro
right.
Tesoro and Valero.
And also a subsidiary of Koch Industries, a privately held oil and chemical industry company.
Who have funded the climate change denial industry.
Yes,
these two
the Koch
guys
brothers have done so.
Single-handedly.
Now, Tesoro and Valero own two refineries each in California, and they are among the most polluting and emissions-intensive facilities in the entire state. And AB 32 would require them to clean up their operations to comply. They have instead decided to spend $20 million so far on this proposition. They're calling it the California Jobs Initiative. It would require the suspension of AB 32 until California's unemployment rate drops to 5.5% for four consecutive quarters.
The Jobs Initiative. They're
right.
Making it. It's a jobs initiative. And
the unemployment in California has not reached 5.5%. It's only reached that three times since 1980.
For four consecutive quarters?
Only three times since 1980, those specifically. So effectively, this is going to kill it. And the Silicon Valley and the clean energy industry are all saying that this is going to kill the energy industry, the clean energy industry in California. The jobs growth in clean energy has been 10 times that of any other industry.
This is a scam. Make no mistake about it. Billionaire oil companies coming into California from Texas and doing this. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor, to his credit, called them out in a great speech about a week or two ago. Here's a quick clip from that speech. Tony?
I want to talk about the corruption of the democratic process and about forces willing to sabotage this country's economic future for private gain. I want to talk about Texas oil interests that have descended upon California to overturn a California environmental law. And then, as soon as they've done their dirty work, thanks to millions of dollars of scare tactic advertising, they intend, in the words of their own spokesperson, to fold up their tents and go home. anyone really believe that these companies, out of the goodness of their black oil hearts, are spending millions and millions of dollars to protect jobs? This is like Eva Braun writing a kosher cookbook. It's not about jobs at all, ladies and gentlemen. It is about their ability to pollute and thus protect their profits.
It's also one more thing about, as Van Jones says in his speech that we were talking about, he also said that this is really about the oil money trying to knock out Silicon Valley as a competitor for the nation's energy future.
Because Silicon Valley is developing
new
clean energy,
clean technology is based.
And this will knock them out.
Yep.
Corruption of the democratic process. That is what this is about. Make no mistake about it. That's what all of this is about. Thanks. You got to go? That's all right. All right, she's going to go. All right, she's going to go. Get Van Jones on the phone. Van Jones is going to be coming up next to talk about exactly this and the corruption of the democratic process. You may remember him. He was the one who was Glenn Beck'd. Man, this is just so this is on the ballot. This is the kind of trick. This is the kind of scheme. It's a jobs initiative. And this is what, by the way, if you're listening to right wing radio most of the time, they're out there on the way over here. The right wing local right wing station was saying how, well, we have to pass this. We've got to save California by passing this. They're cold black oil hearts. That's the Republican governor of California. that's why I wanted to bring on the Monahan brothers, to demonstrate what needs to be done to get the corporations out of this process. But it's all going to hell in a handbasket, and I don't know that there's anything I can do about it, at least not when I show up every now and again on the radio to, you know, make noise and cause trouble. But I'm doing the best I can. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Van Jones is going to be joining us next. And then your calls, if we can get them, 877-520-1150. All of that is straight ahead. Live from the Left Coast on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us. So I'm stuck here watching TV.
It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things, and people tend to pass you over because you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky.
A man who does stand out like splashy sparkles in the water and knows that it's not easy being green is my next guest who I'm just delighted to have. Speaking of American heroes, Van Jones is a senior fellow focusing on green-collar jobs before anybody even knew what they were and how cities are implementing job-creating climate solutions. He's globally recognized. He's an award-winning pioneer in human rights and clean energy economy. The co-founder of three successful nonprofit organizations, and the best-selling author of the definitive book on green jobs called The Green Collar Economy. He was, you may have heard, at the White House as their green jobs advisor up until 2009 when he was Glenn Beck'd. And, no, he was not the green jobs czar. He was green jobs advisor. He is now a senior fellow at American Progress. I'm delighted that he is able to stay up late for us tonight out there on the East Coast. Van Jones, sir, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
I am honored to be here. It's good to hear your voice.
Great to talk to you, too, my friend. And the reason I was reminded yesterday that, we got to get on Van Jones if we can. I saw the speech that you gave about Prop 23 that I believe you tweeted about. And you said, I bet Fox don't show this speech. They didn't, did they?
They did not. Because it's, you know, it's one of those things, and I'm not sure if all your listeners know about Prop 23, but essentially in California, we created the best global warming clean energy law in the world on a bipartisan basis with a Democratic legislature, Republican Governor Schwarzenegger, signed into law. It was, it is right now attracting literally hundreds of millions of dollars of investment capital, creating 500,000 jobs. And basically, Texas oil guys said, hold on a second. If California keeps doing this, Silicon Valley is going to be the leader in energy. Yep. And so they decided, guess what? We'll spend $20 million to put a confusing ballot measure on to knock them out. So Texas oil money is now being used to knock out Silicon Valley as a competitor with this deceptive ballot measure called Prop 23. People have to vote no on 23, no, no, no on 23, unless you want Texas oil guys to knock out Silicon Valley in the race for the energy future.
And we were just, I was speaking about this before you came on with my co-host on the Green News Report, Desi Doyen, and we played that great Schwarzenegger speech where, you know, he says the same thing. This, you know, Republican governor saying the same thing, that this is deceptive, it's a scam. And Van, they call it the jobs, what is it, the Jobs Initiative?
Which is so hilarious, because if you believe that this is a jobs initiative, you have to imagine that that somewhere in Texas, some guys are sitting around, you know, big oil tycoons, crying, going, "Oh my God, what are we gonna do? How can we help the people in California have more jobs? Oh, those poor people in Watts and Berkeley. Let's spend $20 million to make sure they get jobs." I mean, it's insane. It's literally insane.
But this is – yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to literally be insane to imagine that that's why Texas oil guys would be spending this much money to change the laws in California.
It is the corruption of our democratic process. That's what Schwarzenegger said, and that's exactly what we're looking at here. I got about a minute here, and then I got to take a break. We're going to be back with more Van Jones and get into a little bit more detail. But let me toss this out to you in the minute I have here. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you this question, but let's say you have $1 trillion to spend. What is more of an existential threat, Van Jones? The threat that we face with the global climate change or the threat of Islamic extremism?
Well, I mean, the thing is that we can contain Islamic extremism with, you know, very modest measures, you know, economic development and engagement. But global warming will wipe out the extremists and us, so I think we've got to deal with that.
And that it's amazing how easy it was for us to spend the money on what was perceived as a threat, because I guess you knock down a couple of towers, scare the hell out of everybody. But,
and murder 3,000 people.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to belittle it. I mean to say that, yeah, when you put something like that in front of everybody's face, it scares the hell out of them. And yet, I don't think people are quite as scared about what folks like you say lies ahead with global warming. How do we change that understanding of the real threat that you say will wipe out the Islamic extremists and us?
Well, I mean, I think what we've got to be able to do is to have people understand both the urgency of the threat. You know, we're talking about, you know, literally, you know, hundreds of millions of lives at risk. You know, in the last century, we worried about the Cold War turning hot because the way that we killed could wipe out everything. In this century, it's the way that we live that can wipe out everything, because we're so addicted to these fossil fuels. And so we've got to break that addiction. But we also got to recognize we will have more work, more wealth, and better health in a green economy than we ever had in a pollution-based economy anyway. It's an amazing thing that we're actually resisting a change that will make us, that will create more jobs, better technologies, cleaner air, cleaner water, and make sure we have a planet to live on, so, you know, trying to hang on to, you know, the last pollution-based economy.
We're going to talk about that green economy, why it's being resisted, and what, if anything, can now be done in Washington, D.C. Speaking with the great Van Jones. We're going to be back with him for one more segment and then your calls. You're listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Malloy, playing a little Van Morrison for our special guest, Van Jones. Of course, the former White House Green Jobs Advisor, no, not the czar, Glenn Beck, currently with American Progress, where he is a senior fellow. Van, before I get on to the green economy and what the hell, will we ever see one and how will we ever get one given the situation in D.C., I'd like to point out that and I'll leave this up to you if you want to talk about it or not, but I want you to know, when Glenn Becked you and accused you of somehow being a bad person because you signed a petition in support of 9/11 family victims.
A petition I never saw, never signed, and finally the 9/11 Truth Organization admitted that they never had my signature, but that's another story.
Okay. Oh, okay, good to know. But even if you had signed it, because I read the thing, and one of the things was that Beck put up all of these questions that were so outrageous that anybody should ever ask. This, ironically, in a week when he was talking about the importance of asking questions, quoting Thomas Jefferson, saying that, you know, ask questions, you must ask without fear. Anyway, he put up certain questions from this petition, and I was on the air on 9/11, the 8th anniversary here. I was filling in for Malloy again, and I brought on John Farmer, the senior attorney for...
I'm not quite sure where you're going. Just so you're clear,
yeah.
I'm not a truther. I do believe that 9/11 was a conspiracy by Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda to hurt Americans and not by anybody else. And it's one of the frustrating things, yep, about the situation I find myself in. I've had a lot of crazy ideas, mm-hmm, especially when I was younger. I'm happy to defend or at least explain any of them. This is not one of my ideas.
No, I hear you. And listen, and I'm not even going to ask you to respond to this because I don't care if you're a truther or not. I don't care if anybody is. Frankly, I think it's okay to ask questions, as Glenn Beck said. And that's why I asked those questions to the John Farmer, the head of the 9/11 Commission. And I said, are you offended that I asked you these questions? And he said, no, these are good questions. These are the conversations we need to have. And so I just wanted to point that out, that even the 9/11 Commission wasn't offended by them. But you have always come out and said, we need to have the conversations with everyone. And that's what I believe you have been about. And you brought that idea to Washington, D.C. And how did that go? That's where I'm going here.
Well, I mean, I think that's, anybody who was watching TV a year ago knows how that went. Here's what I think is more important.
Mm-hmm.
We now are in a very precarious situation as a country. We have, major climate crisis underway. You can call anybody on your cell phone, in your BlackBerry right now today, anywhere in the world, and ask them, hey, past 6 months, have you seen any strange weather events? And every single person all around the world will say, oh, we had snow we've never seen, drought like we've never seen, floods like we've never seen. Simultaneously around the world, wacky weather,
yeah,
obviously being driven by climate change. And yet, what is common sense, I mean, now you don't have to read a UN report. You just have to watch the Weather Channel. You just have to walk out of your house to see that, stuff that Al Gore was predicting, 4 years ago, saying, oh, it might happen in 30 years. It's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
We still are not taking action, and so that's, I think, the most important thing isn't interesting, colorful bits from my past. It's really about America's future and the world's future.
The reason I bring this up, and you're right, it was 113 degrees here out here in LA on September 27th, 3 days ago, the all-time high. The thermometer set up in 1877 actually broke. So yeah, we got some kind of a problem on our hands. But when you tried to bring common sense to D.C. and to talk to these people, my concern is those of us who are not deniers of what is going on, look at D.C. and look what you tried to do and look what happened to you. And we see things getting worse. How do we put Humpty Dumpty back together again in D.C.? Or is there another plan, Van Jones?
Well, I tell you what, it is. I think one of the reasons why we see so much demoralization among progressives and people who were and are supporters of the president mm-hmm. is that there has been this train wreck up here in D.C. Where one political party, unfortunately, has turned its back on its best traditions, the Republican Party, and has become the party of no ideas, no cooperation, no patriotism in terms of standing together as a nation in the face of these kind of crises, and it's left, I think, a really bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths. What I will say is, on this issue in particular, we have to continue to fight at the local and state level. That's why this fight against Proposition 23 is so important. D.C. may take a little while to fix, but California got it right. I mean, that's the amazing thing, is that you have California got it right, mm-hmm. Massachusetts and other states have gotten it right. We have to make sure that people continue to defend the gains we already got before we got a Democratic majority in Washington, D.C. The other thing we got to do, short of a climate bill, we can still do two or three other things. There is the need for what's called a renewable energy standard. In other words, America should have a renewable energy goal. We have a Saudi Arabia of solar power here, of wind power here. We should say, look, we're going to be 20% relying on our renewable homegrown resources by, say, 2020. That would instantly make the utility companies go out there and start purchasing, the wind turbines, the solar panels, doing energy efficiency, and that would create jobs in making those solar panels, putting them up, making those wind turbines, putting them up, retrofitting buildings, installing the smart grid. We could literally put, a million people plus to work if we had the right kind of renewable energy goals for America. Congress can do that this year. It would help red states and blue states. The other thing, just quickly, we also should have, it's not just the lack of demand for these products because we've got regulatory uncertainty. We also have a lack of supply of capital. And the government, we're broke, we're so broke. Well, okay, fine. We could do a lot of this with loan guarantees where you put one government dollar on the table to get 10 private dollars unleashed to begin to build these companies and these industries. So those two things right there, plus the Home Star program, so-called cash for caulkers to really mm-hmm. accelerate the retrofitting of American homes, could not only take a big bite out of the global warming, it could also take a big bite out of the global recession.
But is it realistic to look at D.C. and say, oh, come on, guys, give us a renewable energy standard? I mean, doesn't this have to be done on the state level? Isn't D.C. a lost cause at this point?
Well, I don't think so. Let me tell you something about progressives. We suffer from low self-esteem. If you look at where global warming as an issue was in 2004, mm-hmm. just 6 years ago, nobody was really talking about it. You had to really be knowledgeable to even know it was a threat. 2005, Katrina hits. 2006, Al Gore's movie comes out. By 2008, both presidential candidates, McCain and Obama, agree on only one thing.
Right.
Global warming is real. We got to have cap and trade, clean energy. But 2009, Congress the House passes, comprehensive legislation. 2010, we get stopped in the Senate, and everybody goes, oh, we suck. It'd be like if you're in a football team, and you came from the other guy's touchdown, ran 98 yards to yours, and got sacked at the two-yard line and said, I quit, we suck. It's like we've done this incredible effort over the past, 4 or 6 years, and now it's gotten tough. I don't think we should give up on D.C. I also, though, think it's very important that we...
Did we lose? We lost Van? Oh, we lost at the most important part. He said it's very important, and then we suddenly lost him. I wonder why. We'll try to get Van Jones back on the line to finish that thought. And I don't mean to be a downer when I bring these points up to him, but looking at the landscape ahead, looking at the way these folks, and Tony, can you let her know? Yeah, because she might not know. The way that the corporations have gamed this system, we were talking about in the last hour, the way that, they created this climate gate hoax out of thin air. And if you talk to, I suspect, 50, 60, 70, 80% of America, they think, and not just Republicans, but, they heard this climate gate, oh, it's all a hoax. This they have come to believe. Because this is, you know, goes back again to the media, who owns the airwaves, the people's airwaves, and the, you know, the nonsense that they put out there onto the airwaves. How do you overcome that? Now, Van Jones, of course, the former White House advisor, was about to tell us when we lost our signal, and now we're trying to get him back. I have a feeling the battery may have run out on his cell phone at the crucial moment when he said, it's important to do is the most positive guy in the world, and we don't know what it was that is the most important thing to do. We're going to try to get him back on the line, and then we will go to some of your calls at 877-520-1150. And coming up in the next hour, by the way, a different type of green. Yeah, California's Prop 19 proposition to legalize marijuana. That is also on the ballot. And tomorrow, Liz Winstead, co-creator of The Daily Show, she's going to be with us. We're going to get Van Jones back on, if we can, real quick to find out what he said was the most important thing. You're listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show.
The sky is crying. Look at the tears roll.
Yeah, and don't give up the fight. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We were speaking with former White House Green Jobs Advisor Van Jones, currently a senior fellow at AmericanProgress.org. I was asking him about how damn hard it is to get anything done anymore with these, you know, crazy people, climate gate, and all of this nonsense, dirty fossil fuel industries, you know, putting billions of dollars into creating myths, frankly, that global warming isn't happening. And he was responding to say, well, you know, we're almost there. We got the ball almost to the yard line. But the most important thing is, and then his phone dropped, and we have no idea what happened. He was kind enough to come back on to finish up at least that thought. Thanks, Van.
Well, yeah. I was just saying that the most important thing that we can do is, you know, not to give up. You know, we got the ball from the other teams, literally, you know, touchdown line, all the way 98 yards, and got sacked at the 2 yard line for you know, away from victory. And now you got people just wanting to give up, don't want to vote, don't want to donate money, don't want to volunteer, don't want to do nothing. And I'm thinking to myself, if I had a kid who was, you know, had this kind of attitude, you know, you're playing, you know, soccer or whatever, and as soon as the other team scores a couple of points, you want to walk off the field, you know, I would be pretty disappointed. And people keep talking about how disappointed they are in the president or in Washington, D.C. I think that we should be disappointed in ourselves if we let these kind of frustrations, which is all they're doing. The reason that the people are this extreme, you know, these people screaming on television, telling lies about me and everything else in the world, they don't do that to movements that don't have power. They do that to movements that do have power. They don't act this way. They don't go to these kind of extreme lengths to, you know, and try and terrify people because there's a movement that sucks. It's that our movement for hope and change doesn't suck. We are strong. We have, you know, the vast majority of young people on our side. We're diverse, and we are trying to make America better. And we can, the only thing that can defeat us ultimately is if we let them get in our heads and defeat ourselves.
We expect the bad guys to be bad, and, you know, the corporations to do their denying and stuff. But then, you know, we read in the New Yorker, Ryan Liz's article, you know, says that Obama and Rahm helped screw things up as far as climate change and energy legislation goes. How do we stay positive like you? What do we do? How do we send the message to guys like Obama and Rahm that, you know, they need to stay with this and get it right?
Well, I think that, you know, in a democracy, you know, you have to, you know, continue to get louder and prouder about the stuff you believe in. I think that, you know, we have to look at some mistakes that we have made in the climate movement. You know, I was one of the people who kept making the point over and over again that it's not just about avoiding the pain of the pollution-based economy. It's also about securing the gain of the clean energy economy. But some people took that to the extreme, and we stopped talking about the peril, and it became only this sort of, you know, rosy upside story about the green jobs and, well, are there green jobs? And, you know, I would then say, listen, we have 80,000 coal miners. There are heroes. Nobody says, I've never seen a coal miner. There must not be coal miners. We also have 80,000 workers in the wind industry right now. We have 46,000 jobs supported by solar. So we already have more green jobs just in wind and solar alone than we have coal miners. Let's get more jobs. But that gets drowned out. It gets confusing. What I think we've got to go back to is making the basic case that if we do nothing, we're going to lose out in terms of jobs and in terms of, you know, ecological devastation. If we do the right thing, we can create more jobs. There's going to be way more jobs in America 10 years from now, you know, putting up solar panels and building wind farms than there are going to be in the coal mines. The new job growth will not be happening in the coal mines in America. And so we can make those cases. We can make that case. We have to make it to Democrats, fine. Republicans, fine. Independents, fine. But I don't think that we should, at this point, having gotten so much progress in such a short period of time, just throw up our hands and walk away.
The most positive man in the world, Van Jones, author of the definitive book on green jobs, the green collar economy, former White House green jobs advisor, and now senior fellow at American Progress. I know we were only going to have you on for two segments. I really appreciate you coming back after we lost the phone there, Van Jones.
It's an honor. I'd love to come back anytime, and next time we can do some calls, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to hold you to that. Van Jones, thank you, sir. Really appreciate that.
No on Prop 23.
And no on Prop 23. You got that
California.
Right. What a scam that one is. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Have a great night out there.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. The most positive man in the world. I don't know how he does that. After he was Glenn Becked, he came out and said, I love you, man. I love you, Glenn Beck. I love you, brother. Man, I don't know how he does it. Do we have time to get in one quick call here? Let me get in real quick. Jennifer from Fairfax, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Jennifer, what's on your mind? Uh-oh. Did I do that right? There we go.
I'm still talking. Hey, hi. How are you?
Good.
I had a question.
I'm really cheered up now that Van Jones has made me all happy again when I was not so happy before.
Well, he's an amazing person.
Yep.
My quick question was just in terms of the... I have a kid.
I can tell.
I'm going to have to go. Probably,
that's it.
But my quick question was about the German government.
Yep.
Has been putting forward a lot of really amazing plans for their energy.
Yep.
Plan, and I don't know why we couldn't do the same thing here in California. And I know AB 32 is doing really amazing things for that, and I just would say overturning it would be a really bad idea.
Appreciate the call, Jennifer.
Okay,
and
thank you.
You go take care of those kids.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. No, you're absolutely right. That is what AB 23 did out here. Whichever one the Prop 23 will overturn. It was about green jobs, and you're right. Germany is investing. China is investing. They understand. They know that it improves the economy. It improves the environment. It just makes sense. We're running out of oil, people, and it's really dirty. And so are the coal mines. Come on, people. Figure this out. I don't know how Van Jones does it. I'm delighted that he was able to stick with us. Prop 19, a different type of green. And your calls in the next hour. Yeah? What? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. You got some good pot songs ahead, Tony? You get them up? All right. okay. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us as we head into our final hour. What? Oh, and listen to the Green News Report if you're up in San Francisco. Three dozen people fall ill at an Obama rally in Maryland? What the? Yeah, really. Treated for illness during a rally featuring President Obama. President Obama is making people sick. I'm Brad Friedman here on the Mike Malloy Show. In for Mike tonight and tomorrow. He and Kathy will be back on Monday. If you missed any portion, by the way, of tonight's show, we'll have the entire archive up at bradblog.com probably late night tonight. If you missed my interview with Van Jones or Laird Monahan at the top of the show about walking across America to bring attention to Citizens United and that disaster. Momentarily, I'm going to be joined by Alan St. Pierre of Normal to discuss what could be a sea change in this nation on the November ballot out here in California. But like the Prop 23 scam that we were talking about in the last hour, this is not a scam, but these are two ballot initiatives on the ballot for November that affect not just California, but the entire nation. And when I hear people saying, well, why the hell should I vote? Both of these parties are terrible. They're evil. They're both lousy. Well, they both do have their shortcomings. I'll just put it that way. Yeah, well, you know, one is like really evil and the other one is a bunch of cowardly wusses. It can be pretty dispiriting, but as Van Jones in the last hour seems to encourage us, being the most positive man in the world, giving up the fight doesn't work either. And when you've got important initiatives on the ballot, when you got this phony Prop 23 set to gut California's global warming laws, that bipartisan popular bill being taken down by oil corporations who are buying their way into destroying this country. If that's not enough to get you to show up and vote, I don't care who you vote for, by the way. I don't care how you vote on these initiatives either. But, you know, it's a lot more. There's a lot more going on here than supporting Republicans or supporting Democrats. And these initiatives, I think, underscore that very point. We are going to take your calls after I finish up with Alan St. Pierre. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. And yes, I see that we've got two different marks, both in San Francisco. I'm going to try to get to both you guys and everybody on the lines at 877-520-1150. But first, let me check in with Alan St. Pierre, who is the executive director of Normal, which, if you don't know, is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and the executive director of Normal Foundation. I want to talk to him about Prop 19, the quote, Regulate, Control, Tax, Cannabis Act of 2010. And I think we got a real noisy phone there, so let's see if this works. Alan St. Pierre, welcome, my friend, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Good evening.
Appreciate you staying. You're out on the East Coast, are you not?
I'm a block from the White House.
Uh-oh, okay. Well, appreciate you staying up late here to talk to me about this, because this bill, this initiative, California's Prop 19, first, tell me briefly what it will do, and then I got some follow-up questions for you.
If it passes, this will be the first state in the union that would actually legalize marijuana. It would allow counties within California, based on their local mores and values, if they want to regulate and to sell cannabis for non-medical purposes. So many listeners likely realize that about 50% of the counties in California currently, and for the better part of a decade, have allowed the retail sales, but 50% of the counties don't, like Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego's been very difficult, the desert counties, but then again, of course, the coastal communities, East Bay, Los Angeles. So this proposition will do much the same. It will push that autonomy down to the local level.
And so that means that county by county, they decide if they want to legalize it. And what does legalize mean? You can grow it, you can sell it, you can buy it, what?
Yeah, specifically specifically in this case, you can possess up to an ounce. You can grow 25 square feet. That's a 5x5 plot, so pretty small. You could have a couple plants under it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the county wants to allow sales, just like they do now and starting to tax it, then they can do so. And if they don't want to, then they could be like a dry county, the same way we have 800 dry counties for alcohol,
mm-hmm.
75 years after Prohibition ended.
Will this pass federal muster? In other words, if this bill does pass, can the feds say, well, that's great, I'm glad California did that, but we're the federal government, and that is illegal. Cannabis, marijuana is illegal under federal laws.
Well, there's a great argument being made, certainly yesterday in the Wall Street Journal by the all the former heads of the DEA, that this isn't the case. However, well, 14 years after medical marijuana was made available by the voters of California, which has now spread to 14 states, 90 million Americans, approximately one in three of us, live with medical marijuana laws today. So the federal government has not sufficiently intervened in those states. In fact, five states now give state licenses and tax marijuana. So unless the federal government's going to make some sort of weird delineation between medical sales are okay,
mm-hmm.
but non-medical sales are not, they're kind of in a pickle here. This is very much like Al Smith and the end of alcohol prohibition, when Al Smith, the governor of New York, basically said in the late 20s, yeah, this is a federal prohibition, you go and enforce it, which they really won't do.
So it really will stay illegal at the federal level if, let's say, an administration comes in who wishes to suddenly enforce this, the federal law. They would have that legal right if they dared.
Right? True. And in fact, for those who are so jaded that believe that elections don't matter, right now, one of the reasons why all these states have moved so quickly in the last 2 years allowing the taxation is because the Obama administration, with no change of federal law, has effectively taken their hand off the scale by allowing the states much greater autonomy under something called the Ogden Memo, which came out October 20th, 2009 from the Justice Department. Wouldn't want to play a soothsayer here,
mm-hmm.
but had the McCain-Palin administration been in place, they absolutely would have kept the same federal friction that had been going on from 96 to 2009 under both Clinton and the Bush administrations, where hundreds of these dispensaries and cultivators were raided, and many of those individuals are serving 5 and 10 years mandatory sentences.
But I don't understand that. John McCain and Sarah Palin, they're in favor of states' rights, right? They don't think the big brother ought to come in. They're in favor of freedom, aren't they?
Well, that is one of the things that will make me the most jaded person here on K Street, is listening to that rhetoric for 20 years here, where the modern GOP has argued for less government power, devolving out of D.C., greater autonomy at the state level, and here they have the prima facie example to allow this to happen, but traditionally fight it all the way.
Well, on that level, how is, since these the Tea Party out there has convinced themselves they believe in these things, has this had an effect? Do you think you're going to see that libertarian element or the disinformed Republican, the folks who have been hoaxed basically to be in the Tea Party, do you think that they're going to get it and they're going to come out in California and say, yeah, we do believe in freedom after all, and vote to pass Prop 19?
It's amazing that to this juncture, this rather unorganized but semi-organized, like a starfish with only three legs, that it happens to have made no real connection to the topic of marijuana legalization, again, despite it being one of the best examples of something where, and here are some numbers, 75% of the public supports medical marijuana, 73% support this notion of decriminalization, and at the national level, 45% support legalizing it outright, and in California, we're polling 50% in favor of it, 42% against it. So in about 3 weeks, the voters of California are likely going to do something absolutely cataclysmic here and end, for all intents and purposes, the federal government's 74-year marijuana prohibition.
And not just marijuana prohibition, but a war on drugs, a phony war on drugs that the U.S. has been, running on one hand and then using on another. You can read about it at bradblog.com. Ernest Canning wrote a terrific piece on Prop 19. So you're saying that 50 to 42, that's what the pre-election polls are currently showing in favor of Prop 19, correct?
Indeed. The field poll 2 weeks ago came out indicating that. They'll do at least two more polls, and it looks like this trend, which is a macro trend, is more support on the upside and diminishing opposition on the backside.
Have any state, or even federal, I suppose, but any state Democrats or state Republicans, elected officials or candidates, come out in favor of this Prop 19?
Only Tommy Amiano, who has a legalization bill pending and will reintroduce a new one in the new session, has really been vocal about riding the wave of Prop 19. That's one of the most amazing things about this, is how the disconnect between politicians who otherwise can usually put their finger in the wind and get some idea of what the public wants, why over all these decades have been such a disconnect between both parties, talks on both their houses for all these years, and the public, which generally has sought, as I described earlier, soft reforms that decriminalize medicalization, and we're getting very close to a majority on legalization.
This may be a place where finally the people have their say. We'll see. Both the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Jerry Brown, and the Republican gubernatorial candidate, Meg Whitman, I think they have both come out against Prop 19, right?
Indeed, as has the senators. Ms. Boxer is the chair. I mean, think of, Ms. Boxer is a proverbial, quote, liberal Democrat, and yet she and Ms. Feinstein have come out lock solid against this. Again, you almost can't make this stuff up.
Cowards. This is, this is what they did on Defense of Marriage Act, mm-hmm. Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's all the same thing. They're all cowards, and maybe this time the people will rise up and say, hey, cowards, we're going to do what we want to do and vote the right way for real freedom. Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal, really appreciate you staying up late tonight. Folks can get more information on Prop 19 where?
Certainly at norml.org, where you can get everything about marijuana except where to buy the stuff.
Okay, norml.org. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Take care.
All right. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your calls coming up straight ahead on 877-520-1150. What an hour. We'll be back.
We can do it anyhow. I and I will see you through. Because every day we pay the price. We're the living sacrifice.
That song is, don't they? Yeah. Okay. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman. There you go. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in for Mike Malloy, taking your calls for the rest of this hour at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Mike and Kathy will be back. I'll be here with you tomorrow. Mike and Kathy will be back with you Monday. Tomorrow we will have the hilarious Liz Winstead, Daily Show co-creator. Can't wait. She's going to be joining us, taking your calls, talking about the big 10:30-10 rally or rallies and her own rally that night. We'll find out if she will be appearing once again with Jon Stewart on the Daily Show of a sort at the rally. Also, we're going to be joined, I'm hoping, by Alex Halderman, the man who hacked the internet voting scheme that was about to be used in Washington, D.C. in the November elections. They were able to put not just put the University of Michigan fight song on there as their calling card, yeah, but within hours took over the entire server, overwrote every single ballot with a write-in vote, found out how people had voted, revealed their identities, and put in some code that would keep them from being able to or would allow them to change the votes in the future. Are you scared yet? You should be. if the, you know, these, well, I'm not going to talk. Well, we'll talk. Some callers want to talk about it, but I know that we got two different marks from San Francisco. Let's give me, and they've been holding for a long time. So let me go to Mark from San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Am I the right Mark?
Are you? You tell me.
I guess so.
Okay, you are.
Okay.
What's up, brother?
I was going to originally talk about Van Jones's resignation, mm-hmm. but when you brought up St. Pierre with Prop 19, I found that very important. And I'd like to say two things. First of all, the one problem I see...
You can say one thing because we only got about 40 seconds, so go.
We have a problem with it in that it is so limited in how much can be grown and so forth. And at the same time, it doesn't bring in the fibrous cannabis.
So, Mark, you're complaining that if they legalize cannabis across California, you're already complaining that they're not letting you have enough?
Especially also of that which actually makes fiber.
Okay.
I'm serious.
All right. So, this is in the proposition that puts a limit on whatever you're talking about?
You can grow, and I don't see why they should not just allow it like cotton.
Okay.
Or tobacco.
A path is built, if you will, one stone at a time. Thanks for the call, Mark.
I understand that, but I can see we're going to be held back. Like, you've got Boxer, who is our best, unfortunately, one of the best senators we have, who is going against it. This is always just
uphill.
Yeah,
that's their theater. That's
one
the Kabuki theater. Quick, Mark, I got to get to a break.
Yeah. And that is, I thought also that also Washington was. If we had Washington, Oregon State, and Nevada actually come up and put up propositions at the same time, there's no way that the Obama administration can come down on them, because if you remember, 4 minutes after the close of the West Coast states, he was elected.
I got to get to a break, sir. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your call. We will get to the other Mark in San Francisco and the rest of you on the line if we can. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, whether you like it or not, and we do hope you like it. Stop by the chat room, by the way. Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen are holding down the fort there. I will be reading it all after the show, so watch what you say. More straight ahead. I can't forget you for your surprise. You introduced me. What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you like it? All I need is my brother. All right, welcome back to the Malloy Show. What? What did I do? He's making fame. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com, I should add. The phones are lit up here, as I suspect are the callers after that Prop 19 discussion. They are lit up as well. We're taking your calls for the rest of the hour, 877-520-1150. Want to get in as many folks as I can. Kathy in San Francisco, you're against Prop 19, which would otherwise legalize marijuana across the state of California.
Yes, I am, Brad, and it doesn't legalize it enough. I'm in the medical cannabis community. I have been for years, and the majority of the people that I know that are already cannabis professionals are totally against this law. On a personal level, it would throw my 22-year-old son in jail for 6 months for passing a joint to his 19-year-old brother.
Okay, well, explain this to me. Why would it put him in jail?
Because it intensifies in an extremely draconian way anything but possession of 3/4 of an ounce or less.
So you're in favor, if I get this straight, you're in favor of the general proposition of legalizing it, but you feel this doesn't go far enough, and at the same time it puts in some penalties to the point where you think you should vote against this proposition. Do I understand?
Absolutely, and it's completely unrealistic because...
Okay.
People supposed to get their 3/4 of an ounce. Everybody is not going to have plants growing on their balconies in San Francisco.
Does this allow people to sell it at a store?
No, it does not.
It does not.
And it doesn't allow cultivation and for any avenues of cultivation and supply that's any more legal than the dispensaries already are.
So if you wanted to get it from a dispensary, you'd have to have the medical marijuana approval or prescription.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And you know, I don't know how you feel, but I wouldn't want anybody telling me that I could buy a bottle of wine, but I can't have a wine cellar.
Well, okay, I understand, but, you know, these things do happen one step at a time, and I don't think we'd even...
It's the wrong step. It's not a well-written law, and it's going to bring a lot of unintended consequences, I guarantee you.
Kathy,
don't
you think that we would not even be having this vote now if we hadn't passed Prop 215 for medical marijuana, that this is a process?
I absolutely agree it's a process. I just think that because there's been an intense interest in legalizing small amounts, that there's been capitulation on the side of coming down very, very, very hard on people who, way harder on people who don't. But like right now, if my two sons were smoking a joint at Dolores Park in San Francisco and a cop came by and caught them, they might both get a $100 misdemeanor fine. Under this law, they would haul my oldest son off to jail, and he'd stay there for 6 months.
Because it increases some of these penalties. I got you.
It increases some penalties, okay. and it does not provide enough legal avenues for distribution and transportation to keep up with the so-called demand of everybody being able to keep 3/4 of an ounce in their house. It's unrealistic and a little bit, you know, fantastical.
Fair enough. I appreciate your thoughts here, and thank you for using your public airwaves to get them out to the people.
Thank you for letting me be heard, and I urge people to go online and read the bill before they vote for it.
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate it.
All right. Great, thanks.
All right, let's see. Mark, got to take more in. Everybody's listening in San Francisco tonight. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Mike Malloy Pro. Oh, what, wrong one there. Wait a minute. There we go. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Are you familiar with that bill that was going before this Congress about the tax breaks for corporations that were outsourcing? They were going to end them.
Yeah.
And there was a Buy American provision in it.
Yep.
And the Republicans filibustered it.
Yep.
And also this foreign money going against
that was how they were going to pay for the additional health care for 9/11 first responders, as I recall.
I think this is a different bill. This was going to end the tax breaks for the corporations outsourcing our jobs.
Okay.
And a Buy American provision.
Okay. The other one, I think, was the tax breaks for overseas corporations or something like that. But yeah, I do remember. And of course, they filibuster everything.
And also this foreign money, I mean, going into the campaigns against Democrats.
Yeah.
I mean, these teabaggers, this is so un-American. I mean, how can they possibly justify their position of being a Republican when there's so many anti-American provisions that these Republicans are doing against our country?
Because they've been disinformed by the corporations who own the airwaves, starting with Fox News, but certainly not ending with them. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate your call. All right. That's what I've been yelling and screaming about for God knows how long. And the Democrats had opportunities to do things about it, and they didn't. And we're still in the same soup we're in, and it's getting even worse. There's just no two ways to put it. All right, let's go to Bill in Cleveland. Hey, Bill, how are things out there in Cuyahoga County?
Hey, bro, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
You know, I got a question for you. You know, I worked for the election protection in 2004, 2006, 2008. I actually did exit polling.
Thank you for doing that, sir.
And I signed up again.
Yep.
And crickets.
Yep.
And their website, theelectionprotection.org, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
It's, like, silent. There's nothing going on. Do you know anything about this and why? I mean, you're reporting all these crazinesses going on.
Yep.
And, like, what, there is no election theft anymore?
You know what? People are dispirited. I mean, you know, people worked like hell, to stave off what could have happened in 2008. Some people say the worst did happen in many ways in 2008. But in any case, you had the Democrats come in and didn't do a damn thing about it. Now, we have Velvet Revolution has set up a campaign called ProtectOurElections.org. where we have tried to go through and pull out all of the existing election reform measures that are on the table that have been introduced in Congress, and you know, picked out the good ones and thrown away the bad ones, and said, look, we need to support these things. We need to see some legislation move forward.
Yeah, but whatever happened to the Holt bill that we all were crapping about?
Well,
it was like so awful, and they still wanted to let these touch screens in and
Yeah, a lousy bill. And
that died. I mean, I don't recall hearing anything about that from you guys or anybody.
Don't get... Oh, you didn't hear anything about it? Well, you heard it from me. I mean, I was, you know...
Well, but that was 2 years ago.
Well, I was never in favor of that bill for a start, but look, I've been pushing...
Fixing is what I meant.
What's that?
Fixing the problems with it, and I know you guys were active in that.
We got to raise hell. We're still active in it. We try to raise hell all the time. It's a hell of a fight, and it's getting harder because now you have crazy people running the show in D.C.
Oh, geez, tell me about it. We got crazy people running here in Ohio.
I know.
And you got to remember, in 2004, guess where our buddy Uncle Kenny Blackwell was routing all the stuff, you know, to computers
I
in
have
Tennessee
heard.
Or something.
I have,
And it's Jennifer Bruner, you know, bless her, but she's done a great job. She's not running again. She failed for her bid to run for the Senate seat.
Right. Yep.
And now I see that she has opened up some kind of thing against the banksters that are trying to foreclose on all these people without getting signatures.
There's so much work to do, but listen to the message from Van Jones. Don't get weary. Keep up the fight as best you can. Thanks,
Bill.
We're
here in Cleveland, and we're fighting, Brad. I just want everybody out there to know that.
Thank you, brother.
Got to fight. We all got to stick together. We got to get this done because democracy's dissolving in front of our eyes.
Yep, and it's got to be stopped. Thanks, Bill.
Right.
Really appreciate your voice.
Thanks, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Let me go to, who do we have here? Armand in St. Petersburg. We got just a few seconds here. What's on your mind, Armand?
Well, I just wonder, what if instead of going to war when Bush came in 2000, that we had a real honest leader that wasn't bought and paid for by one side or the other? And instead of going to war, we would have took that same amount of money and built all brand new manufacturing factories that were energy self-sufficient in this United States of America.
I hear you.
Imagine if we would have done that. And we could even filter the money through the industrial military complex, and instead of dropping bombs on innocent men and women and children for the corporate profit short term, we could have had them assist us in building all these new factories, and it would have been full employment. Then the home market would have sustained itself, and it wouldn't have imploded and blew the bubble up that it did. And we would have everybody in their homes now. The equity would be where it was. We could start our own money, our own capital, and print our own money because we'd have something to back it up by productivity and value added. We could get out of this quagmire. We could shut off the borders from the imported stuff that's destroying our country and our money that you're about to see when they devalue it, what money buys when you don't make anything. And the future would be fabulous. We could then go to the national health care that we want and we need, and the demographics of the population, the baby boomers getting older, would infuse more capital into the system that would increase more proportionate productivity that would stop inflation, and we'd be the most prosperous lighthouse to the world to see without wars and destruction and peace and education and health
and
show the world
example. That's it, baby. Singin' Armin, thank you. Well done, sir. And, of course, if the, as my dad always says, if the queen had balls, she'd be the king. But you're absolutely right. If. How did that happen? I mentioned it in the top of the show. First hour, we let an election get stolen, not from us, the Democrats, but from we, the people, because we lost sight of the ballots. We stopped counting them. We allowed the Supreme Court to tell us to stop counting them. We stood by and watched. And we didn't learn many lessons, I'm sorry to say. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Still have a few lines open if you want to get in before the end of the show here. 877-520-1150. We'll come back around to them on the other side. And what other bit? Do I have any other business I have to take care of before? No, I don't. All right. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. One more segment tomorrow night. Liz Winstead of The Daily Show, Alex Halderman, he of the DC Internet Vote Hack, oh, and the Pac-Man Hack. We're going to talk about all of that tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it. Brad in for Mike. Stay tuned. When I caught a glimpse of Rita, filling a ticket in a little white book. In a cap, she looked my shoulder, and the bag across her shoulder.
Kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
My thanks tonight to our guests, Laird Monahan, Alan St. Pierre, and of course, Van Jones. Also, my thanks, as always, to engineer Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. My producer and screener, Desi Doyen, and Jeannie Dean, of course, at the bradblog.com chat room, which I will be reading later. And, of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to come on in here and screw up their show. If you're listening via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned afterwards for Head On with our friend Bob Kincaid. For those who've been asking in the chat room at various times tonight, no, I don't have a show. I'm just a blogger guy. But I do sit in from time to time for Mike and anyone else who will have me. And you can also hear our Green News Report, of course, on only the finest of progressive radio stations across these United States, or at greennews.bradblog.com. Oh, I should also say, now on Wednesdays, I've been sitting in with my good friend Harrison over at Pacifica's local Los Angeles affiliate. So you can try to find me there, but otherwise, you'll find me on the blog. Okay, we'll get a couple more calls in, 877-520-1150. Make your comments as quick as you can so that I can try to get in as many callers as possible. Nora from Minneapolis, what's up?
Brad?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, good to be on. Thank you.
Good to have you on. What's up?
Hey, well, before I go on to my main subject, just want to mention it's sort of unfortunate for trying to legalize marijuana that not only does it have the force of the tobacco, alcohol, and pharmaceutical against the marijuana part, but then the actual, they used marijuana as an excuse for the actual problem, which was when they invented the decorticator, that hemp became too much competition for the forestry, paper, cotton, and burgeoning petrochemical industry, so that's why they had to stamp it out.
All right, well, that was a well-said point, but that was not your main point?
No, my main point is this.
Hurry.
About, I was at the organizing meeting tonight, and, you know, 2 weeks ago, the FBI went and broke into a bunch of homes of anti-war activists and international solidarity activists.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now, these courageous young people are now all refusing to appear at grand juries. And they've had demonstrations, 60 cities last week. We've had two so far here. And
keep up the fight, Nora. I gotta get to other callers or I'm going to run
really
out the clock.
They just really want people to call President Obama and U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder.
Mm-hmm. And
demand to stop the repression against the anti-war and international. And I took so much encouragement from Van Jones by him saying they wouldn't be doing these absurd extreme tactics if they didn't have a strong movement they were contending with.
Thanks, Nora. I appreciate it. Let me get to Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Real quick, Ron, what's on your mind?
Good evening, Brad. For the 2012 elections, in the primaries, we need to get a movement where all Democrats vote out all incumbents and all Republicans vote out all incumbents, and we get a Congress of rookies.
Of rookies?
New people, yeah.
It, you say the people who don't know...
The power brokers.
You feel the people who don't know how to do the job will serve us better than those who do.
We
right?
just need to get rid of the power brokers.
Okay, all right.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate your call. Thanks, Ron. Let's see, Jeremy in Burlington. Do we have time? We do. Real quick, Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Hey,
welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
I just want to say, how can we keep having Glenn Beck on TV when he comes out day after day after day with lies? Yesterday it was that slavery wasn't as bad as it was in the end until big government stepped into it and that our government never put it into power.
Jeremy, you're saying big government ruined slavery for the common man?
Yes, he's saying that slavery wasn't a bad thing until, big government stepped in.
Okay. Well, you know, he happens to be either crazy or crazy like a fox, but he's on our public airwaves, and nobody's doing a goddamn thing about it to get him off our public airwaves. It does not belong to the corporations. It belongs to the people. But don't get me started on a rant this late in the show. Anything else, Jeremy? I got to run.
I was going to say we can't say the F word on the radio.
Don't.
But we can spell his trash.
There, you're absolutely right. Thanks, brother. I appreciate your call. Let me give 10 seconds to Ed in South Jersey. Welcome to the show, Ed. What's up?
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Sorry, I don't have more time. So what's on your mind?
You want me to hold over after the commercial?
No, we're done. Well, this is the end of the show. What do you got? Send us out with a good thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that it seems to me, I'm a 35-year-old black male, and it just seems to me that a lot of the white people in this country are in denial. It just seems that way to me.
Okay.
And they tend to vote against their own best economic and financial interest.
You're damn right they do, and they've been tricked into it, Ed. Quick.
Yeah, let me just say one last thing.
5 seconds.
Obama and the Democrats is not the best, but it's better than the Republicans.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
We're going to talk about that tomorrow night because I want you guys to tell me who, if anyone, I should vote for. Thanks for the call, Ed. I appreciate it. All right. We've cleared it out. Good enough. Liz Winstead tomorrow night. Alex Halderman tomorrow night. And you're going to tell me who and why and if I should vote at all. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Until tomorrow, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Keep it lit.